guys so much. Good job. Thanks. Please grab a seat. Well, good morning. Okay, Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids. Where are Grace Kids? All right, let's tell them we love them. Nobody likes kids. Tell them we love them. Here's why we do that. If we don't affirm them, they will go somewhere else for that affirmation. If we don't celebrate them in church, somebody will celebrate them outside of church. And man, we want them to be celebrated here. So we love them and we believe in them. Who has them today? I didn't see them. JD's got them? All right, we'll pray for JD too. All right, JD. JD's a dean. He can handle it, I promise. For sure. For sure. That is great. Well, let's pray together. Well, Lord, thank you for today and your goodness. And now, Father, be with us as we look at your word. It is truth. No matter what we feel, this is truth. No matter what we think, your word is truth. No matter what we want to believe, this is the measuring stick. So, Father, help us. Help us understand your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I'm old enough to remember this. Now, some of you in this room are as old as I am, and some of you have beat me by about 2 or 3 months. All right? How many of you remember when if you wanted to look up information, you had to go to this thing called a library? Anybody? Okay, I'm just interested to know how many have never been to a library? Be proud. Never been to a library. Right. And let me tell you, it's going to get worse. As information continues to become readily available, which I don't know if it can be any more so than it is now, libraries are going to be a thing of the past. But I remember going to a library. And if you wanted to look something up, you had to go, you had to look something up. It was a process. It took some time, it took some energy, it took some effort. Today, it's not like that, right? I mean, we could get online and bim, bam, boom, we got it, whatever we want. And there's a lot of good things in that. There's a lot of great stuff about that. But there's a lot of things about that that's very frustrating and can be very confusing. For example, all y'all are in church today on a beautiful day. You could have done a lot of other things, but you've come to church to worship. So that means that at some level, God matters to you. And at some level, the things of God matters to you. And at some level, you care about doing the things of God and making a difference. Now, for each of us and all of us, it might be at different levels and different places, and that's fair. We're all on the journey, and we're not on the same part of the journey and running at the same rate, but we're on that journey together, okay? Now, here's what's happened. In Christianity, if you Google, how do you be a good Christian? What does it mean to follow the Lord? You're going to get all kinds of crazy stuff out there. You're going to get a group of people that believe if you want to be a good Christian, you have to keep all the fast days, feast days, holy days, and all of that kind of stuff of the Jewish tradition. You have to be a good Jew to be a good Christian. And I mean, you've got to keep them all down. And man, we've all decided that I'm not real smart. And so I can't even remember the speed limit on St. John's Avenue, much less the 600 laws to be a good Jew. Are you with me? Right. I'm just not going to work out real well there. So we've got that. Now, if you go to the other side, you're going to have people who are going to say to be a good Christian, man, you have to talk in tongues. You have to give so much of your money. You have to be in church so many hours a week. You got to do all this kind of stuff. And that's what it's going to mean to be a good Christian. Well, Paul, the apostle, is in jail. Okay? We're going to look at Paul. He's in jail. He's locked up. Now, their prisons back then aren't like the prisons today. Okay? He's in jail. He's probably sleeping on the ground. No running water, nasty, horrible. And listen, they didn't feed prisoners. People had to bring them food. So if people didn't bring him food, he didn't eat. If people didn't bring him clothes, he didn't have clothes. So he's in this prison situation, and he writes this letter called Philippians. And he, listen, in chapter 2, he narrows down what it means to really follow the Lord and be a Christian. So here's my assumption today. My assumption today is that you want to be a Christian that matters in the world. You do. You want to be a Christian that as you go through life, you make an impact, you make a difference, that your life matters. I don't think anyone in this room wants to be worthless. Am I right on that? Right? Nobody wants to be worthless. Anybody want to be worthless? Okay. Nobody wants to be worthless. Nobody wants to be ineffective. Nobody wants to go through life and when you're gone, nobody cares. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to make an impact. Everyone wants to make a difference. Everybody wants to matter at some level. Now, here's the second thing I'm assuming. as a church, as a body of believers, we want to be a church that makes an impact. We don't want to be a church that just exists here on St. John's Avenue. We open our doors, we have some services, we do some fun stuff, and then one day we all die and the church closes up. I don't think anybody in here wants to sign up for that. Am I right? Right. We want to be a church that is relevant, that is impactful. Now, in order to do that, Paul says, here's what you have to do. It's really clear and it's really simple. And if you'll listen fast, I'll talk fast, and we'll get done fast, and y'all will all be happy. All right, so here we go. All right, in Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 1, if you have your Bibles open there, here's what Paul says. He says, if therefore, now when he uses the term if here, he's not wondering if it's true or not, because he's going to make about three or four statements. He's not saying, well, maybe this is true and maybe it's not. If is really sort of a because. You could have translated this because or since. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, since, therefore, there is encouragement in Christ, and since there's consolation of love, and since there's fellowship in the Spirit and affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Okay, here's what he's doing. Notice, he's narrowing it down. He's saying, okay, do you want to be a Christian that has a life filled with joy, happiness, peace, the direction, and the presence of God? Do you want that in your life? Do we want to be a church that is impactful, missional, that makes a difference in people's hearts and lives, that God uses to advance the gospel and to advance his word around? Do we want to be that kind of people? Okay, if you do, then Paul says, okay, here's the key. He says you have to be united in spirit and intent on one purpose, and here it is. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interests of others. Here's what Paul says. Here's the one thing. Serve others before seeking stuff for yourself. That's the key. The key to being an impactful Christian, the key to being an impactful church, is to caring more about the people sitting next to you than you do yourself. How do you know? Listen, that is hard to do. How many of you wake up every morning and it's hard not to be consumed by the pressures of the day? Are you like that? I mean, you wake up and you got a list of things to be concerned about. You got a list of things to worry about. You got a list of people you wish God would translate into heaven. Can I get a witness? I mean, you know, fiery chariot, tsunami, doesn't matter. Just a list of people, you know, God, get them. Take them up. There's a list of them. And if he did that, it would just all be better, right? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? So we wake up and we have this list. We got this stuff going on. And it is just hard to be selfless. But here's what Paul says. Paul says, here's the mandate. The mandate I'm giving you is simple. Think more about others than you do yourself. But there's two barriers to it, okay? Look at what he says. There's two barriers. First is selfishness. Selfishness. Seeking those things about yourself. I'm telling you, the root of selfishness, let's talk for just a minute. The root of selfishness have destroyed more families and more churches and more relationships than maybe any other thing ever. The root of selfishness says this. If you're a business person, man or woman, and you've gone away somewhere and you step out on your spouse without thinking anything about the ramifications, think about the selfishness. If you're working for somebody, a small business, a fledgling company, and you're trying to get it up and going, and all you care about is your paycheck rather than the advancement of the business, guess what? You may get your paycheck, but the business may fail. You've been selfish. You get what you got. People come to church, and I promise you, they think it's Burger King. You guys remember Have It Your Way? Remember? All right? I mean, they do. And people come to church, and we've sort of trained this up within the Western world that you can come to church and it's all about you. Listen, I love you today, and I wish I could make everyone's life perfect, but I can't. I don't have that power. I don't have that authority. But here's what I know. If you want a life filled with meaning and purpose, if you want a life that makes a difference, if you want joy in the midst of all the list of problems that you have, it's not going to be found by being selfish. It's going to be found by becoming selfless. It's going to be found by giving away. And Jesus taught this. You remember back in Luke, Jesus tells a story. There's a man leaving from Jerusalem, traveling to Jericho. And a bunch of people, a bunch of robbers come out. A robber comes out, beats the guy up, throws him to the side. He's laying there all bloodied and bruised and broken and broke because they took all of his money, right? He's laying there. And then what happens? Now, he's telling this story to a group of Jews. The Jews had a group of people they hated. Everybody have people they hate. They hated the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans because the Samaritans worshiped differently than they did. That's the root of it. The Samaritans worshiped at a mountain. They worshiped in Jerusalem, so they hated each other. Anyways, it's true. So that's the deal. So he's going down. He gets pounded. He's thrown to the side of the road. And what does the Bible say? Jesus says a priest came by, saw the guy, does nothing, moves to the other side of the road and moves on. Then a Levite, another religious leader of the Jews, come by, looks at the guy and says, no, not going to mess with him. Goes to the other side and moves on. Then a Samaritan came by. The people who many in the Jewish community thought were worthless and couldn't do anything good. The Samaritan does what? Goes over, picks up the guy, takes him to an inn, pays to get him fixed up, pays for his lodging, pays for his food, pays to keep him there until he's well, and then he leaves healthy. Jesus said, I can't tell you about a good priest or a good Levite, but I can tell you about a good Samaritan. Why? Because he served. Because he served. See, selfishness is one thing, but the second thing Jesus said there, or Paul said that could be a barrier, is empty conceit. Empty, in other words, thinking you're too good to bend a knee. Thinking you're too good to serve someone else. Thinking I'm too important to get my hands dirty. Man, I am so smart and I am so me, I can't go up there and get those things done. You know what will block you from being the Christian of great impact, a Christian filled with great joy and great purpose, which God has for you? He has for everyone in this room. Thinking you're too good to serve. Now, I love you today, and I don't want to be rude. It's a beautiful, sunny summer day, and I don't want to ruin your day. But guys, listen. This is the mandate that we serve. Now, I want you to look at the second thing. Paul says, I'm going to show you the model. I'm going to show you the model of how you should serve, right? And he said, this model is perfect in every way because it's the person of Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says. And beginning in verse 5. It says, now have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be hung on to or grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, who is in heaven and on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. Here's the story. The mandate is, if we want to be Christians that truly make a difference in the world, we have to serve. If we want to be a church that makes a difference in our community, we have to serve. There's no shortcut. Being cool doesn't cut it. Having good music doesn't cut it. Having whoever standing up here preaching doesn't cut it. If God strikes me dead today, the next guy's not going to get it done. Because listen, there's no shortcut to being a church that serves. We just got to do it. Right? So Paul says, here's the model. Now catch this, okay? Walk with me for a minute. I'll be done. Give me 5 minutes. Track with me for 5 minutes and I'm going to be done. Listen, here was the deal. Jesus was in heaven. Now, whatever you think of heaven, heaven is the perfect place, fully with the presence of God, and everything there is created by God for the worship and glory of God. So Jesus was in heaven. Everything there was created, and everything there was dedicated to bringing him honor and glory and praise. I mean, Jesus was surrounded by perpetual praise and worship. Isn't that cool? Men, how many of you get that when you come home from work? Oh, honey, let me sing your praises. Right? Do y'all get that? Right? Yeah. Nope, I don't get it. But anyway, I mean, you get that? But listen, Jesus was surrounded by that. Now, listen, he left it. Now, there's this cool word, it's a theological word called kenosis, means that he set apart or set aside certain divine attributes so he could make the slump down to earth to take on human form so he could live, the scripture says, as a servant to others. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. So Paul says, I want you to empty yourself of yourself, and I want you to have the attitude of Jesus, which is this: I left the perfect place to serve you. Gandhi said, Jesus I like, it's his followers I have a problem with. I love you. I love you no matter how you decide to deal with this information today. I love you. We are not on a works-based relationship here. I love you, and you love me. With all of my imperfections, with all of yours, we love each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's how we do it here. Right? But as your pastor, I have to say this. This is probably where the Western church blows it. Is in the area of serving with the right attitude others. They look at Jesus and they're really thankful they're not going to hell. Amen on that one. Right? They're really thankful they are filled with the Holy Spirit to get guidance. Amen on that one. They're really thankful, right? They're really thankful that there's peace and love and joy found in the presence of the Holy Spirit through the Word. Really thankful for that. Amen. Right? We're all real thankful for that. But emptying yourself of yourself is a really hard journey. It is very difficult. I can't give you a 1+1=2 formula to get it done. I'm not that smart. But here's what I know. If you will love the Lord and ask Him to help you love Him more than you love yourself, serving others will be easier. It just will be. So how do we know if we're doing it right? How do we measure if this is going well? Okay? Over in verse 14, look at this. In verse 14, Paul gives us the measuring stick. Okay, we've got the mandate to serve. We've got the model, which is Jesus. He left earth. He came here, and He came here to die for us, and He did it perfectly. And now we've got to model that. So how do I measure if I'm going about it right? The first thing he says in verse 14 is this: do all things without grumbling or disputing. Da 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 da. All things without grumbling or disputing. How many of y'all wish I'd have left that out? Just go ahead and be honest. Say amen. Right. Too bad. It's in there. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Didn't write it. God wrote it. I'm just trying to communicate it. How many of you know you can do the right thing the wrong way and it becomes the wrong thing? Y'all know that's true? Y'all know this, that when you're raising your kids, or maybe when you were a kid, and your parents ask you to do something, that you would get in more trouble for your attitude than for maybe not doing the act itself? Can I get a witness? How many of you ever got in trouble for your attitude? Amen. Anybody ever get in trouble for their attitude? Right. So here's what Jesus says. Here's what Paul says. He says, look, you want a measuring stick? Okay, here's the first one. Are you doing what you're doing without grumbling? Are you serving without complaining? Are you serving without complaining? Let me give you a couple of suggestions. When you go to work in the morning, and I work a job, I work at the county, I know what it's like to punch a clock, go to work, and have a boss. Why not show up with a servant's attitude? Why not show up saying, man, I am here to serve the people around me. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for you. Man, that's going to change the atmosphere in which you work. It just is. How about when you come to church next Sunday and we're going to be doing some really cool stuff? You're going to, listen, I don't, typically it's not my sort of the way I do things to do it like this, but we're going to be doing some really cool things this summer during service. And you're going to want to be here and bring people with you. We've got something coming up that really sort of focuses on others. And I promise you, if you're here, it's going to make an impact in your life. And you're going to be able to use it in other people's lives. right? But why not, when you come here next Sunday, you get settled, you get in your seat, why not just take 10 seconds and pray for the person next to you? You may not know their name. You may say, hey, Lord, please, you know, be with the guy over there. You know, just bless him, touch him, and be with him. Or, Lord, be with that lady. I just saw her. She's right back there. You know who she is that I'm thinking of. Why don't you just bless her, Lord? Give her what she needs today. Move her along today. Some of you are looking at me like I just grew a head here and a head here. I mean, I'm telling you, y'all, I wish I had a pic. I'm going to do that. Hey, can we get the technology where I can get a camera and I can film, and then we can throw it up here on the wall? Can we do that? Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to start doing live cam, you know, tracking cam, you know. It's going to be awesome. Right? So here's the deal. All right? Here's the deal. Why not show up next week and say, I'm going to pray for somebody else rather than for me? That's just a really easy place to start. Just pray for them. You may not even have to know their name, but just pray for them rather than yourself. So Paul says, just start it with a good attitude. Then he goes on, he says this. He says, do all things without grumbling, serve. That's what he's talking about. Serve without grumbling or disputing. He said, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will appear, look at, as lights in the world. Now, I want you to catch this. He said, if you will love and serve without complaining, you will appear before people as blameless. Isn't that cool? Hey, when you read the Bible, isn't it interesting to sort of see what it doesn't say? You ever think about that? Because there's a lot of things it doesn't say, okay? It doesn't say right there, oh, if you want to appear blameless and be a light, you have to be morally perfect. It doesn't say that. How many of you are glad it doesn't say you have to be morally perfect? All of you, raise your hands or you're going to hell. Because even if you've not done it, you've thought it. And Jesus said, if you've thought it, you might as well have done it. Right? Yeah, aren't you glad it didn't say you got to be morally perfect to be a light and to be blameless before the Lord? Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? Aren't you glad it doesn't say you have to always manage your tongue to be morally blameless? Huh? Anybody with me? All right, yeah, now we're getting somewhere. All right? Aren't you glad that the Bible didn't say you have to give 90% and live on 10%. Now, the revival should break out right now. I mean, y'all should be Pentecostal. I mean, running the aisles, jumping the pews. I mean, this should be a happy place. Aren't you glad that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here's what it means to be blameless and to be a light to the world that is so perverse and crooked and so desperate need of hope and joy and happiness and contentment and meaning and purpose. Aren't you glad he said, here's what's needed. Serve with a good attitude. That will mark you as a different kind of person. And may I say something to you? It will mark us as a different kind of church. It'll mark us as a different kind of church. When we serve without any grumbling, it marks us as a different church. When you serve without grumbling, it marks you as a different kind of Christian. God's not doing this to put you in servitude and to beat you up and build, you know, some big serfdom out there. That's not his gig. He is saying the key to spiritual meaning is through serving and giving to others, and Jesus demonstrated that. Then finally, Scripture says this. Hold fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run or toil in vain. Paul concludes by saying this. Please love and please serve without grumbling, because the day that we stand before the Lord, he said, I just want to know that I've taught you well. That you've done it right. There's a lot of great churches in our community, filled with great people, led by great people, that operate great. I mean, there are some great places in our community. We're just one. But here, this is what we want to do. We want to serve with a great attitude and love without prejudice, and make a difference in the lives of our community by the way we live, our attitude, and by what we do, our purpose. And if you'll join me in that, you know what I believe? A year from now, this room won't hold everybody who's coming. We'll have two services. And if we really get it right, we might have to have three services. Wouldn't that be a great problem? Here's the formula. Love God. Love others. Serve with a great attitude. That's the formula. It's so easy, I understand it. Hey, listen, you are loved by your Heavenly Father, and He has a plan and a purpose for you that is amazing. Serving is a part of that plan. Now, this summer, we're going to talk a lot about opportunities to serve here, and we're going to talk a lot about ways to connect and serve here, and we're going to talk a lot about how you're wired and put together to serve. So we're going to help you move from maybe where you are, hopefully, prayerfully, to where you want to be. And we'll help you in that journey throughout the summer if you'll hang with us. Amen? Pray with me. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. And Lord, I pray if somebody came in here today feeling beat down, beat up, marginalized, that Holy Spirit, you've spoken to their heart and you've let them know how valuable they are to you, Father, and how much you love them and care about them. Father, if someone came in with no real purpose driving their life, they're just sort of wandering around. Maybe they have a job, but they don't have a purpose. Lord, I pray that you've spoken a little bit to their heart. Father, be with me, be with the staff, be with the elders, as we seek to build a place where people can connect, people can serve, people can be selfless, and your kingdom can advance. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'm going to